December 22nd, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. Prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota might have been the most distinguished name in American medicine, perhaps world medicine. But just like so many other health authorities, they have annihilated their credibility in their response to this pandemic. We've told you all about it on this program. There's Mayo Clinic Dr. Courtney Bennett in the ICU, whose advice to unvaccinated people who get sick is please go die. Then there's General Surgeon Mark Sawyer from the same hospital who posts his sexual fantasies on Facebook about getting to deny sick people health care, staring into their eyes as they die, telling them it's too late. Then there's Mayo Clinic CEO Gianrico Ferrugia, who also sits as a health governor for the World Economic Forum, which produces propaganda for international vaccine passports. And just to make things even weirder, there's the clinic's head of security, Matthew Horace, whose other job is as chief of security for Dominion voting systems. But not everyone at the Mayo Clinic is bad, or at least until this week, there were good people there too, people like Callie Newkirk. Callie was an administrative assistant at the Mayo Clinic, but on Tuesday, she sent an email announcing her resignation. It's an incredible email, which is sadly too long for me to read all of it right here, but I want to read the important parts. Quote, I am one of many who is resigning from Mayo Clinic due to the recent email sent to Mayo Clinic staff and contractors indicating mandatory COVID-19 vaccination. I believe in freedom of choosing whether or not I or others feel the need to be vaccinated or not. I saw now that pregnancy is no longer considered an exemption, which I find absolutely ridiculous, and I want to share my story, my findings, my opinions, in hopes that you, the largest voices of this institution, will stand up for those who are afraid to. I, along with many others, have experienced repercussions following the first dose of the vaccine series. I was hospitalized for 10 days, a week after my first vaccine. I had symptoms I have never in my life experienced prior to being vaccinated. And in a matter of months, I experienced 2 miscarriages. I'm not being allowed an exemption. I had one written, but being that it's for pregnancy, it is invalid. I refuse to be vaccinated until I'm done having kids and breastfeeding due to what I have been through following the first vaccine. I am not an anti-vaxxer. I have every other vaccine under the sun. I believe in science. I believe in research. But what I don't believe in is politics getting involved in personal health choices. This institution is falling victim to communism. The Mayo brothers believed that politics was to stay out of Mayo Clinic. We were always told to remain neutral. Now, we're folding to communist executive orders and not standing up with our own voice and our own research. Why? Mayo will soon be, really already is, short on nursing staff and other healthcare workers due to their own decision to move forward with mandates and taking away our freedoms as Americans. You can claim that this decision is for the needs of the patient come first, but if that was the case, why are their needs not being met? Why do I hear cases where patients are getting their food taken away by nurses because they took their oxygen mask off? To eat. Providing quality care to every patient isn't happening because many nurses and physicians are becoming biased, believing that only the vaccinated are worthy to be treated here. I know I'm not alone. I'm in a private chat with about 700 employees ready to quit or be fired. Many of us meet weekly to discuss how to combat this problem and start our own healthcare. I can't imagine how many additional folks across the enterprise are staying quiet, but will come through in the following months ready to leave. Thank you for taking the time to read this, if you do. I hope for a response, but don't expect one, because I really don't think you care. It's all about money now. End quote. Really an incredible letter. Well written, well informed, unquestionably brave. And as soon as I saw it, I knew I had to have Callie on. She joins us now. You are a very brave individual, a common sense individual. You had the first shot. Tell us what happened.
Following the first shot, within about a week, I was actually admitted to St. Mary's ED and then was admitted to a mood disorders unit for 10 days, a locked ward. I experienced hallucinations and other crazy things that I've never experienced in my life. And I was basically a guinea pig for a bunch of different kinds of medications because they were just throwing darts, trying to figure out what was going on with me. They never brought up the fact that my vaccination had been recent. And following my stay there, I really was never followed up with. And then only a short month or so later was when I experienced my first of two miscarriages.
You work there, but as a patient, did you bring up the fact that you had recently been subjected to these shots or this shot and that you suspected that what was going on?
I did, yeah.
And that fell on deaf ears?
Correct.
What did they tell you?
I really did not get any answers or any feedback regarding my vaccination.
So they just didn't acknowledge the fact that you had had this COVID shot being referred to as a vaccine. A vaccine, by definition, is supposed to provide immunity. We know that it doesn't do that. There's also a big lie about these shots being FDA approved. There is not an FDA approved COVID-19 vaccine available in America. It's a big lie. So this mandate you see as a threat on our freedom, and you referred to communism. Why do you say that?
Mainly because, to me, this breaks the constitutional right of human rights in the sense that we all should have a decision whether we want to put foreign matters into our bodies or not. And I feel being told and mandated that we must do it, that's completely breaking our freedom.
You talk about horror stories that you have seen in the hospital with patients being denied nutrition. We have heard a lot of those stories here on the program. Is this something that's frequently talked about among the 700 or more nurses that are on the same page you are?
It's discussed. It's probably not discussed enough. I'm maybe one of the first people to bring this up, at least in this letter, among the rest of us. But I know there's other stories about it. I've heard about it from my friends, my other nursing friends.
How long have you been working for Mayo?
Since 2017.
And in those 4 years, have you ever imagined that this is how it would end?
Not at all, no. In my letter to my supervisors, I was sobbing when I wrote my resignation letter because the email was sent out to us last week on a Wednesday, and I wrote my resignation letter on a Friday. So a week from today is when I wrote my letter to my supervisors. And I was sobbing because I absolutely envisioned my lifelong career being here at Mayo Clinic. Maybe not necessarily working for administration, but I had planned to go back. I have a bachelor's degree in business administration, and I was planning to go back for a master's in public health so that I could be somebody that I support right now, one of the administrators here, because I greatly admire a lot of them. They do care about people, but even their voices aren't being heard anymore. And that's what's disappointing me. And so after that note, after the mandate note and writing to my supervisor, I said, I'm so saddened to be ending my career here, but it's what I have to do.
You have to protect your future family. You're trying to have children. You've had two miscarriages in a matter of months. Did you ever expect that anything like that would be the case? I mean, you're a healthy individual prior to this inoculation, right?
Correct. Yeah, no, I did not expect it at all. There should have been no reason that I couldn't have had a perfectly healthy baby.
Wow. Are you concerned about your ability to do that in the future?
Somewhat, yeah. That's the reason. A lot of people have asked me, you know, when you're done being pregnant, would you consider getting the vaccine? Because they're curious to know if it would have changed my mind about staying. And I said, I would consider when I'm done having children, simply because of what I've gone through. So my husband and I hope to potentially have two kids. And so until that is done, I won't consider it. And hopefully by that time, there would be enough data out there regarding the vaccines. So like I said, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I don't disbelieve in it. I just think there needs to be more science behind it. Dr. Robert Malone, the doctor who has helped put out the mRNA technology, he doesn't even believe in these vaccines and how they're being mandated because he knows they're not safe enough.
I just can't imagine more research being done on these, more time being allowed to pass, more people dying and being injured like you have been, more babies being lost. And I can't imagine any reason why anybody would ever want to take it. I'm not beating you up for taking the first one, but why would you consider taking a second one with all of the pain that the first has caused you?
That's a great question. I almost think It would have to be an extreme change of events in how many people are dying from this disease. That would be my changing factor. Because as of right now, it doesn't seem like this mass pandemic that they're making it out to be, being that our numbers are not what they were last year in December or October to December. And so unless something dramatically changed, I still would not get the vaccine.
I just want to talk about some quick facts here. So, over 70% of hospitalized COVID patients over the age of 65 are considered fully vaccinated. Israel is the most inoculated country on the face of the planet, has the highest COVID rate, COVID infection rate. Natural immunity was discovered in the Oxford findings that natural immunity is much more robust, and still 99.987% of people who contract the virus beat it with their own God-given immunity. So, I don't know why. I'm going to be simplifying my questions to some of these experts on the program because I don't know why we have a vaccine for this in the first place, much less this response that we have seen, which is completely unfathomable. And we've had a lot of healthcare workers here who are telling us that no, this is not true. The healthcare system never collapsed because of COVID-19 patients. It's only collapsing now because of the lack of resources and employees because of these unconstitutional, overreaching, in your words, communist mandates.
I would say that's accurate. Absolutely. I work right here. I see the numbers every day, and while I can't disclose that information, it's true.
So, vaccine injured patients are more than likely coming through in abundance. And if they are like you, it's very possible that they are being ignored and that their vaccine injuries are not, in fact, being recorded. And if it's happening at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, one of the world's most prestigious healthcare systems, then it must be happening everywhere. So the numbers that we're seeing, would you believe that they are very low?
Low regarding.
The numbers that we're being told of people that are being injured by this vaccine or dead as a result of these vaccines, do you think that they're lower than what they really are?
The numbers of being. No, I would say, I mean, the numbers injured by the vaccine is probably higher than what
That's what I
we're
mean.
aware of.
Yes, higher than what is being reported.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. Because I can tell you right now, if I looked in my own patient chart, none of what I've explained about my vaccination is charted. I've had multiple conversations with my doctor via my patient portal messenger, and none of that is documented.
So your doctor has taken it upon his or herself to omit patient testimony from a chart that is going to be used to determine your prognosis and treatment. That's disgusting. That may be the most disgusting part of all of this, the infiltration into our medical system because of politics. Wow. I've got about 30 seconds left here, and I'd like for you to have the final words.
I am very grateful to be on your show today. Thank you so much. And I would just like for everybody watching to not back down in your beliefs. Stand up for yourself. These mandates don't have to be here. Mayo Clinic and a lot of these other businesses have huge voices. They should be standing behind their employees. So if more of us band together and continue to tell our stories, they have to listen at some point.
I just don't understand it. The data is right there in front of their faces. The injuries are walking through their ED doors into that emergency department. The deaths are happening as a result of these vaccinations. There are babies being murdered, essentially, by forcing this vaccine on pregnant women or breastfeeding women. Pulmonary hemorrhage. Alarming amounts of babies dying within hours of birth, according to a doctor at a major healthcare system who is seeing this right in front of his eyes. But what's going to happen to him? He'll be silenced, he'll be deplatformed, he'll be banned, and possibly even arrested and prosecuted. It's insane. Kelly Newkirk, your bravery is extremely admirable. God bless you, and good luck with having children.
Thank you so much.
Before interviewing Kelly Newkirk, and because we knew that she had experienced two miscarriages, we obtained training materials prepared by the Mayo Clinic for their employees. Inside of those training materials, it specifically says when referring to the vaccination of pregnant women that it is the choice of the pregnant woman whether or not to get the vaccine, because there has never been any studies on pregnant women with these shots being falsely referred to as vaccines. Let that sink in. No choice for Callie Newkirk, but she does, and so do you. You have a choice. Callie Newkirk is fighting back, and so can you. Christopher Key is fighting back. He founded the Vaccine Police after he stuck up for kids on some mask mandates in front of a tyrannical school board. He got fired by his communist boss because he didn't like that. He didn't like the fact that he was speaking out. Even though Christopher Key was successful and had the mandate lifted, now he's going all over the country fighting these school boards, fighting hospital administrations just like the one at the Mayo Clinic here in Rochester, Minnesota. He's fighting Big Pharma. He's documenting Nuremberg violations everywhere. He's serving them upon pharmacists all over the country, erecting billboards in major metropolitan areas, getting the attention of the local media, who's forced then to cover it, bringing attention to the vaccinepolice.com, showing people that they do have a choice and that they can fight back because we are the majority. I support Christopher Key. I support the Vaccine Police, and I'm seeing the fruits of my investment. I would like for you to also support the Vaccine Police. Go to vaccine-police.com. Check out all the work that he videos. He documents everything that he does. Go to vaccine-police.com if you feel so called, and if you have the resources, please, please financially help that organization. Go to vaccine-police.com and give. Please help this fight. Go to vaccine-police.com. More of the Stu Peters Show right now. Well, our next guest is a lot like our last one. Michael McMahon has dedicated his life to serving the public as a police officer. Unfortunately, he's done so in a city unworthy of his efforts, Los Angeles, California. Michael has policed the streets of downtown LA for 14 years. His domain includes the notorious Skid Row, a square kilometer filled with garbage, needles, human waste, and close to 10,000 homeless people, drug addicts, and dangerous criminals. America's in a bad spot these days, and Skid Row might be the single worst spot. That's where Michael McMahon, even through the past 18 months when the press and Democratic Party basically accused police of genocide while letting criminals roam free with impunity, that's where Michael McMahon has been. In 2019, Michael saved the life of a suicidal man on top of a freeway overpass. Well, Los Angeles now wants officers like Michael McMahon gone. It wants them out of their police force, out of their city, out of their lives. Mayor Eric Garcetti, with the support of the police chief Michael Moore and the head of the police union Craig Lally, has imposed a total tyrannical, communistic, unconstitutional vaccine mandate on the officers of the LAPD. Get the jab or lose your job. Well, now Michael and some other common sense cops have formed a movement, rollcallforfreedom.com, to oppose these totalitarian vax mandates for cops. But of course, they aren't just fighting for that. They're fighting to protect the public by preserving our police forces, because of course the left would love to use vaccine mandates as an excuse to purge the police of everyone who isn't on board with their agenda. Michael McMahon joins us now. First of all, thank you for your service on the streets. Second of all, you know what this seems like to me? Your leadership and the public have for years entrusted you and asked cops around the country to use their discretion, right? To use their judgment when enforcing the law, when upholding the rule of law in a place like Skid Row, but yet you don't have the judgment to decide whether or not medicine should be forced into your DNA.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. It's a real honor. I couldn't have said it better myself. That is exactly how we feel. You know, as police officers, we're trained. We go through our academy, our careers. We're given a gun, a badge, and a car and sent out into the streets to solve problems for people that call us. You know, by nature, we're investigators. And so 19, 20 months into this pandemic, the department is essentially saying to us that they don't trust us enough to make decisions for ourselves. We can solve crimes. We can do our investigations. We can take people off the streets. But when it comes to our own selves, our own sovereignty, the department is not trusting us enough to make decisions for ourselves.
This comes from the same people who threw you under the bus after $12 billion of damage was inflicted on innocent people across the country over the course of just 3 months last summer in the name of a home-invading career criminal thug called George Floyd, who died of a fentanyl overdose on the streets here in Minneapolis. At that time, even in the most justifiable use of force situation, you were the bad guy, no matter what. And that was the same with every single person in uniform across this country. And now they're using this to demonize you. You are a dirty and filthy, unworthy person, according to leadership. And I use that term with heavy air quotes in the city of Los Angeles. Is that an overstatement?
No, not at all. It's actually an understatement. You know, on top of that, we've been defunded over $150 million from our budget as well. So we've had to close down or disband units that are essential to solving crimes. You know, we're operating in a city where crimes aren't being prosecuted. We have a Soros funded district attorney who's not who's choosing not to prosecute criminals, who is not allowing district attorneys to show up to parole hearings. So we have people going out on the streets that don't belong there. The city is right now in a pre sort of chaos stage. You know, I mean, this year alone, comparatively to last year, we have shooting victims up 25%. Aggravated assaults are up almost 10%. Homicides are up 20% as compared to last year. We're not making arrests. Arrests are down 2% this year, but overall they're down pretty close to 30% since 2019.
So like the healthcare system, which is purging all of the good common sense doctors, nurses, and staff out of hospitals, now they're forcing good common sense cops out. What is this going to do? To me, it's really obvious. But from your perspective, as a cop who's worked Skid Row, I mean, you've been on the job for 14 years in that district. I mean, what is going to happen there when you're all gone? And in what numbers do you think there's going to be an exodus?
Well, last I heard, there was approximately 3,000 officers seeking at least a religious exemption. But our police commissioner, William Briggs, had made a statement just about 2 weeks ago saying that he found it very difficult to believe that 3,000 officers had suddenly found God. Once the good cops are gone from the city of Los Angeles, and I'm not saying that we have bad cops, what they're doing is they're systematically...
Hold on. I'm sorry. The person in charge of the religious exemptions is questioning the faith of those seeking the exemptions?
Well, he's in charge of our police commission. We have not been told who is actually going to be reviewing our religious exemptions.
But that's what he said. He said, yes. I have a hard time believing that 3,000 people just suddenly found God.
That's correct.
And what is this guy's name?
William Briggs.
William Briggs. Yes, William sir. Briggs is determining what your relationship or the relationship of 3,000 people at minimum is with Jesus Christ and God. Got it. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. But what the department is essentially doing is they're eliminating the critical thinkers from our job. We have a relatively young police force as it is right now. And a lot of the senior officers are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and they're seeing the writing on the wall. In demonizing us, in trying to push us out, which is almost the final stroke of the defund the police movement. You know, you have these mandates, but in those mandates are attached some sort of writing from the government that says you have to, if you're going to take this money, you're going to have 100% vaccination rate, or you'll have to pay us back. And that's essentially what's pushing this forward. It's money. It's always been about money. It's never been about your health. If it was about our health, we could show that we've had antibodies. You know, mandating something 19, almost 20 months into this event, it's frivolous.
Hold on a second here, Michael. Is he talking about common sense stats and facts on this program? Because if he's doing that, we're going to risk being deplatformed here. The censorship light just came on over here. But no, seriously, you're talking about the very same thing that's going on in schools with our children. Children are at virtually no risk from COVID-19 at all whatsoever, yet school districts are forcing them to strap medical devices to their face. The will of the parents means nothing. Somehow they act under some secret code or statute that I have yet to find that gives them the authority to act as doctors or health officials. They're tyrannical communists is what they are. And, you know, the reason for it is the same reason here. It's money, because they're getting federal money by the millions pouring into these districts that they get to go cash those checks. Superintendents and school boards live on that bottom line. They're administrators running a for-profit business, it would seem, and the same thing is happening with the public sector everywhere, whether it's schools, law enforcement, or healthcare. If we as taxpayers pay that it's not enough, they're going to supersede that with the federal money. So you're fighting back against this. Roll Call for Freedom is the organization that you guys have set up here. And what exactly is the role of Roll Call for Freedom? It's, by the way, if you guys want to look this up online, it's Roll Call, R-O-L-L-C-A-L-L, the number four, freedom.com. What are you guys doing there? What do you need from people who support the cops and support freedom? What do you guys need?
Well, we need to get our voices out. You know, being a police officer in the city of Los Angeles, we're kind of, our backs are against the wall because, you know, we're demonized. Nobody wants to approach us. Nobody wants to touch the police. We've been fortunate and blessed to find the assistance of Thomas Renz, who I know you're familiar with.
Yes. Thomas Renz is a great attorney from Ohio. Yes.
We're really honored to have him on our team. So he's come aboard and he's vetting some attorneys for us here in California at the moment as well. But our legal fees are going to be exponential.
So and, are you fighting to rid of the mandates and keep your jobs in an environment filled with freedom? Or are you fighting to sue and you're already gone? What is the actual, you know, mechanism here?
I'm here to stay. I'm going to fight to the end. You know, as a sovereign man, as a police officer, I've never wanted to do anything else other than this. You know, I'm standing up for the rights of Angelenos. I'm standing up for the rights of Americans. Because once we lose these freedoms, they're never going to get back. We're never going to get them back. And so that's why Roll Call for Freedom was formed, so that we could stand up for the rights of the individual, being ourselves, the city employees, 57,000 city employees in the city of Los Angeles. We're standing up for their rights, but we're standing up for the rights of Americans everywhere.
Is Roll Call for Freedom limited to just cops, or can anybody support it?
At the moment, it's limited to police officers, but we do have resources to try to assist everyone else. And if we can't, we'll find answers for everyone.
But I can give to Roll Call for Cops if I support what you're doing there.
Yes, please.
Okay, so everybody go give $5,000 to these guys. And then also, when you're victorious, I would imagine that Roll Call for Freedom, that your role is going to exponentially increase, because what's going to happen is, after you defeat these tyrants on these unconstitutional vaccine mandates, what's coming next is things like Child Protective Services are going to be trying to employ you to go and pull kids from the clutch of a father who chooses not to get vaccinated or refuses to wear a mask, or from the mother who she's not vaccinated or refuses to poke her kids with this needle. So I would imagine that you have a long road ahead of you, but you seem like you really have your stuff together, and I want to thank you for your bravery. I got to go. Final words here.
I just want to say thank you for the kind words. I would encourage everybody to please check us out at rollcallforfreedom.com. We're also on GiveSendGo. You can make a donation to our legal fees there. You know, all of us are as individuals. We're not taking a dime out of this. This is all on our own time. And you know, we are under a mandate to get vaccinated by December 18th, or we will be fired.
Right on. Officer Michael McMahon, LAPD, I will support your efforts 100%. And for those of you that want to join me in that, stupeters.tv, I will put the links to the GiveSendGo and to the website there. If you didn't have a chance to write it down, you can find it at stupeters.tv. Just look for this interview. Michael McMahon, God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Stu.
Rollcallforfreedom.com, the number four, rollcallforfreedom.com. I'll put it over at stupeters.tv, as well as the GiveSendGo account. I'm going to donate. I hope that you will join me. That's a great cause. We need to support our cops. Common sense people understand that. Law and order needs to exist on our streets. Without it, you have communism. Authoritarianism, totalitarianism, these things cannot exist unless there is an absence of the rule of law. And that is what's happening here. That's why you see chaos everywhere. That's why you see these people getting bailed out of jail by Kamala Harris after they burned down an occupied police precinct. The absence of the rule of law and normalizing chaos. They shock you with the chaos, then they normalize the chaos and convince you this is the new normal. New normal, you've heard that before, right? Build back better. Reimagine. As Obama is in his third term right now, he's the one that introduced that widely to the globe. Don't ever forget that. He's on the bottom of the classic sock over at Step on Socks because he's one of the globalists that you'd love to step on. He's joined by the Clintons, Fauci, Gates, Pelosi, and Biden on that sock. There's other socks available as well that include Whitmer, Mike Pence, Andrew Cuomo. I'm sure there's a Vernon Jones step on sock coming soon. My favorite is the Trust in God sock. I have them here. These are the high quality Patriot designed all cotton socks. You get a 3-pack of them for just $17.76. Here, what I like about these is, you know, Trust in God printed very boldly there. Be proud of that. Be proud of that. Really nicely designed here. You can step on sin all day long. For those of you that are listening on audio only, just go there and check them out for yourself. Steponsocks.com features the classic version, the Trust in God version, all sorts of different versions for $17.76. Plus, they have diversified at Step on Socks. They now sell silver Second Amendment flags. How important is your Second Amendment right now? Also, the Trump 1 flag that they have is exclusive to Step on Socks. I love it. I've got one flying outside. Go to steponsocks.com right now and make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you go to steponsocks.com. We have to pause for a minute and think about what exactly it is that we're dealing with. We are dealing with mandates and an incessant push, constitutional overreach, complete violation of individual liberty, inherent God-given rights. You're being mandated to take this shot, being falsely referred to as a vaccine, proven to be dangerous and deadly in the name of a virus that virtually affects nobody. 99.989% of people who contract COVID-19 beat it with their own God-given immunity. With no ivermectin, with no hydroxychloroquine, with no increased vitamin D, no zinc, no quercetin, all of those things. On their own, 99.989. Kids virtually affected zero. And now we're being told that these shots that have been proven to be dangerous and in many cases deadly are going to be forced on your 5 to 11-year-old kids. Dr. Jane Ruby joins us now. Not only that, but now the FDA is doing this mix and match thing. What is this going to cause in our society? I mean, it sounds like chaos.
Stu, thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk about the 5 to 11-year-old group. But as you said first, let's talk about the boosters. The FDA came out with something really stunning yesterday. In fact, they put it in a thread of tweets. They came out to tell the American public that they were authorizing a mix and match approach to this booster situation. Stu, this makes absolutely no sense. There's no data to support it. I mean, people have to stop and think, as you said, what are you going to be, lemmings? You know, lemmings are little mice that just kind of follow the herd and they commit suicide by going off the cliff because all the other ones ahead of them are doing it. Look, they came out and if you go to their website, based on this mix and match recommendation that they've made, they've said that they looked at 149 people, subjects with a Moderna product, and they said that you can use one half of a dose. Where is that coming from? Based on what? You have to start demanding proof of this. Then they came out and said that they looked at 39 people, subjects, in the Johnson & Johnson, and you can use the full dose for a booster for them. Stu, this entire mix and match is potentially deadly. It's going to create tremendous confusion because when you're injured with whatever injury, or if your family member dies, you're not going to be able to pinpoint possibly which product caused it. Or worse, you're going to have two products involved. Look, the FDA has its own guidance documents that it puts out to industry. These are minimal requirements, minimal standards. There's one. The number is 134581. I implore people to go look at it. I've provided your producers with it. You've got the title right there. It's called Clinical Drug Interaction Studies. There's a requirement to study drug-drug interactions or versus entity interactions before you make a recommendation that you can interchange drugs or use them together. They're suggesting that you use them together, that you can take your first series or whatever product you use. And then, you know, within 6 months, utilize another company's product. We know, for example, that the Pfizer and the Moderna mechanisms of action utilize an mRNA computer-generated code that's never been seen in nature before, encapsulated and transported by a lipid nanoparticle that can be made oftentimes with graphene sheets. This has all been proven very dangerous and deadly. And then you compare that to Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca that use an adeno vector virus approach, gets you to the same place your body's forced to make billions of these synthetic spike proteins that are causing all kinds of damage to your heart, your immune system, your other organs, and fertility. So to now mix and say, it's like a bonanza. Yeah, what is the desperation, Stu? There's an incredible desperation here. It's just unbelievable. And so I'm asking people to say, you know, okay, forget just weight. Hell no. This is dangerous.
Dr. Ruby, let's just simplify this. So like right down to the core, this is all fake. This is a fake hoax.
It's a totally fake hoax.
This is a virus that doesn't really kill.
There's no pandemic anymore.
No.
By definition.
And the variants. I mean, I don't understand. How do you have a variant of something that has never been isolated other than on a computer in some lab somewhere? How do you test for a variant?
Yes. And any lab that you ask, how are you diagnosing the variant? They can't even prove they're diagnosing, because we know the PCR test doesn't work. How are you diagnosing a specialized variant? No lab can tell you, okay?
What they're diagnosing is a set of symptoms that has been branded as a product, which is now being marketed and sold as fear to force compliance into the other product that is turning people into eternal reigners of power with an unprecedented unilateral authority, and you're turning them into trillionaires.
Absolutely. And Stu, I just want people to understand something. In drug development, we have rules and regulations. We have safety things in place. Before you can recommend or advocate or authorize a mix and match approach, you're talking about, you have to show safety in what we call drug-drug interaction studies. What do those studies look at? Very quickly, they look at whether one drug alters the pharmacokinetics of the other. They look at whether the drugs change the magnitude of effect of one injection over the other. You also need to understand the clinical significance. In other words, what is happening to the person? Will they have more side effects? Will they have different types of side effects? Is there a synergistic? All of this, Stu, has not been done. They cannot show you that this has been done. And in fact, they don't provide any data. They just tell you to go mix and match, have a ball. Prescribers, look, Stu, we now know that these companies have indemnity against legal liability. But you know what, Stu? The doctors authorizing it and pushing their patients to get it, the people injecting and shoving the needles in the arms and about to shove the needles in the arms of 5 to 11-year-olds are not immune.
All right, so I want to talk about that group of people. So yes. We have 12 to 17-year-old males have six times more likelihood of having a severe heart issue, myocarditis, than they do of having a severe illness to COVID-19. We just heard a doctor yesterday who said that an unprecedented amount of babies are dying just hours after birth with pulmonary hemorrhage. The only common denominator in all of those deaths, and by the way, all of these babies are dying from the same exact thing, pulmonary hemorrhage. The common denominator is the moms were vaccinated. So the baby was vaccinated basically in vitro and or breastfeeding shortly after birth. They've all died within 48 hours. So now we have this age group in between 5 to 11. Do we have any reason to believe medically, as a pharmaceutical researcher, any reason to believe that the same exact things will not affect 5 to 11-year-olds?
Stu, this is a runaway train of dead and injured babies and children. I'm going to tell you why. This coming Monday, the 26th of October, the FDA is holding a meeting. I believe today is the deadline when the public can submit their comments, and I do encourage people to do that. You have to understand something. Pfizer has already come out with their briefing document, and you can get that online. I can give you the link. They're already saying in their briefing document that children 5 to 11, by the way, they studied 264 children. That is not an adequate study for safety. They are claiming that it is safe and effective for children, that there is 91% effective. Stu, it's like Groundhog Day. We're repeating the same steps that we repeated in general 8 or 9 months ago. And they did test a lower dose, 10 micrograms, but they're using something, watch this, called immunobridging. Immunobridging, it's just so diabolical. They're not even really testing adequate placebo against the children 5 to 11 getting these injections. They're using this immunobridging, which means they're comparing, Stu, the efficacy, so to speak, and the safety to the trial data from the 16 to 25 year olds. And they say on their website that the FDA has no, quote, no official stance on immunobridging, even though they're allowing that to be used as the safety and efficacy marker. And you can look at the, by the way, you can look at the protocol, clinicaltrials.gov. You know, Dr. Jane's always giving you this clinicaltrials.gov. It's NCT 048-63638. Why? Look at that protocol. They exclude pregnant women, but I haven't seen any restriction on giving the booster to pregnant women, much less women. Those fetuses are at risk. Stu, I'm breathless because I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Any parent who gives this shot to their kids is seriously, there's something mentally wrong with you. Look around. Look around. I mean, your kid is not affected by this virus. Okay. Period. I mean, virtually no kids are affected by this virus. So many kids have been affected or dead as a result of these shots. Why in the world would you ever give this to your kid? I just don't understand it. I'm out of time. Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so much for being here.
You bet, Stu.
Send your notices into the FDA and do not be fatalists. You fight, fight, fight. I don't want to hear these comments about, oh, they don't care, they don't care. No, no, no. Stop what you are doing. And before the deadline, you make your voice heard, you make your demands heard, and you let these sociopaths know that your child will not be receiving these shots. People are around people who have had these shots and are getting ill. We've already heard from one person had two miscarriages in a matter of months. Today, we heard that from a healthcare worker from the Mayo Clinic. The list of people emailing this show every day who have been injured by these things. I mean, we could do hours of these first-person testimonials of horrific injuries. And they want to give this thing to 5 to 11-year-old kids. Babies are dying. We fight. We fight this. This has got to be the line. I mean, if this isn't the line in the sand, what is? Our kids? This is our kids. If you're around people who have had this shot, if you're around these chimerically engineered, taxpayer-funded, sociopathic, psychopathic, Tony Fauci, chimerically engineered Wuhan lab viruses, go to ZStackProtocol.com right now. Who knows what the heck is out here being released? Go to ZStackProtocol.com. It's right there on the screen. Dr. Zev Zelenko's protocol. It's one pill. Take it twice a day. Avoid all this nonsense. This guy saved thousands of lives. You know who he is. Nobel Prize winner, Presidential Medal of Freedom nominee. Go to ZStackProtocol.com right now. Again, ZStackProtocol.com. Nick Fuentes coming up right now. For 200 years, America was a beacon of freedom with the entire world. Our Declaration of Independence is one of the most important documents ever written. Our Constitution is by far the most successful of any country. But now America's leaders are throwing it all away. America is becoming an unfree country, and few people represent that fact better than Nick Fuentes. Nick is just 23, but he might be the most banned person in America. His show, America First, has been kicked off of YouTube and Twitch. He's also been kicked off Facebook and Twitter, but it's not just video sites or social media. Nick Fuentes is banned from PayPal, from Venmo, Patreon, Shopify, Stripe, Streamlabs, Coinbase, Reddit. The bans are so aggressive that Nick has built his own website from scratch, cozy.tv, so that Fuentes and others like him can broadcast without being shut down. In real life, he's been booted from CPAC, banned by Airbnb, and he's been put on a no-fly list. He's 23. He says the feds jacked $500,000 from his bank accounts. All of that was for his involvement in January 6th, even though he never set foot inside the Capitol building. Sounds familiar. Other people get canceled just for associating with Fuentes. Michelle Malkin was fired by Young America's Foundation for supporting Fuentes. Well, you know how we are on this show. We're not like the other ones. If this country's wannabe dictators are so desperate to keep anybody from hearing what Nick Fuentes has to say, then we definitely want to hear it. Everyone in this country has the right to say whatever they want. And everyone else has the right to hear it and decide what they think for themselves. Nick Fuentes joins us now. Nick, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. That was a great introduction.
So there's been a lot of aspiring anti-censorship social media alternatives for conservatives, but Parler was easily shut down after January 6th. This new Truth Social tied to President Trump is already having big problems. You and I have both had problems with Rumble now too, but you've recently created your own platform with Cozy TV. Why is it so hard for the rest of the right to do what you've done?
Well, that's a good question. I think the premise is actually wrong because there are so many on the right that aren't even trying to do what I've done or what Andrew Torba has done, for example, on Gab. You look at the big tech censorship regime that's been created over the past 5 years, and it's been that way with the full complicity of conservatives, whether it was the Trump administration, which in my opinion didn't do enough to stop big tech censorship as they created this regime. And now with their new platforms, they're either incompetent in the case of Parler, and they also had a person on their board who I don't even believe was a conservative and certainly not a free speech absolutist or anything like that. But either there was incompetence or maybe ideologically they didn't believe in a free speech mission. So they had their hosting on Amazon AWS, or in the case of the Trump team, when they come to Rumble and force terms of service and community guidelines on them, which is restrictive, you know, it's indicative that they don't really believe in free speech. So, you know, in some cases, I think maybe they don't know what they're doing. In other cases, I think most of the time, they just don't share the same conviction for free speech that you and I do.
I mean, there should be no middle ground. It's like free speech or bust, right? I mean, it's like America first or permanent slavery kind of is what we're looking at right now. And that should be obvious, in my opinion, for everybody. For my listeners who are older or out of the loop, I want you to tell, what exactly is a griper?
Well, a griper, that's an old meme. It's been around on the internet for years. It's sort of like I would compare it as a cousin to Pepe. You know, if you're familiar with Pepe from the 2016 election, griper is a cartoon frog in the same family. And that was a meme that was used in sort of the online right-wing circles for a long time. And then I came to adopt that as a moniker for people to watch my show and fans of mine. Generally, it's people that are Catholic, nationalist, Trump supporters, you know, all that good stuff. Those are the groypers.
Okay. Why are other programs afraid to have you on their show?
Well, they're afraid because, you know, they're afraid of controversy that I generate. But largely it's because I say things, I think, a lot like Donald Trump did in 2016 or like Alex Jones says, or I think you say, for example. You know, as a truth teller, I'm sure you know that there are very powerful people that don't want the truth to be told. And it's a sort of conflict of interest because the powerful people are running the country into the ground. You tell the truth about that, and that creates a natural threat to the status quo that goes on. So, you know, I'll talk on my show about the crime that goes on in Chicago as an example, and, you know, why we're having that. Or we'll talk about the relationship America has with Israel or the situation at the border, and not just the southern border and illegal immigration, but legal immigration. And a lot of those issues are issues that even on the right wing, people are not willing to have a real conservative position on. So I would say it's because I put out a real message that's threatening to the status quo and the globalist power structure that rules America.
Speaking of Chicago, in other words, Lori Lightfoot's plantation, I was told by somebody else to ask you a question. I have no idea what it means, but I'm going to go for it because I have balls. Tell us about your time as a Latino in Chicago.
That's funny. I mean, I am technically Mexican. So I live in the suburbs of Chicago. My parents both grew up in Chicago. And I have to say it's a very enlightening experience because, you know, maybe in other parts of America, people don't see the transformation that's going on. But in Chicago, you can see it firsthand. The city is very ethnically and racially diverse, and it's been run by Democrats for about as long as it's existed, for like 100 years. And, you know, you can drive in Chicago from one neighborhood to the other, and you can see in real time, it's like a gradient. You can see there begins to be more trash, and the cars are not as nice, and there's just a little bit more of a feeling of unease. And you go from ethnic enclave to ethnic enclave, and it's like you're driving through different countries. And this was a big part of my political awakening, was seeing that, you know, these neighborhoods are different, and the texture of life and the quality of life is different as a consequence of the differences in the demographics of the neighborhood and the people that live there. And, you know, I think if we can expand out and look at the rest of the country, That's why LA looks like LA. And that's why, you know, certain parts of Texas are looking the way they are. And, you know, if that continues across all of America, pretty soon there'll be no nice place to live here. So that's been my experience.
Which is intentional, obviously. I mean, that is what the intent is of the left, is to bring in this pseudo-communism, essentially forcing everybody to be part of one of two classes. You're either part of the ruling class elite or you're a subservient slave. You and I are in the latter. So you title your show America First. What does America First mean to Nick Fuentes?
Well, America First means to me, at the outset, I think we have to define what America is, because it is a question. I think it's an open-ended question. Because some conservatives will say that America is an idea, it's our constitution, it's a creedal identity. And I believe that there is a creedal aspect to our American identity. I think that the sort of civic foundation plays a part in it. But America is a nation. And that's where I would distinguish myself from a lot of other people, is I would go as far as to say that America is a particular people in a particular place with its own history, culture, heritage, history, heroes, et cetera. And so America First means to take that conception of American identity and to prioritize the well-being of those particular people in this particular place over everything else, over the interests of the elite, like you described, you know, the sort of bifurcated society, prioritizing the real nation and its well-being over the elite in the major cities, prioritizing it over our allies, foreign countries, or in some cases our adversaries. When there's corruption or infiltration of our government, prioritizing it over the richest corporations in Silicon Valley, it means the American people and the place put first with no exceptions.
Is Donald Trump America First?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think that he still has a meaningful future as a political leader, or do we need to move on from him?
I think that's up to him. Honestly, I think that, you know, this is a real challenge for him, this post-presidential period, and he will struggle for relevance right now. If he wants a seat at the table, of course, you know, he'd be the de facto leader of the party, but he has just got to set himself straight and set the priority straight. He needs to talk about election fraud. He needs to talk about vaccine mandates. He needs to talk about big tech censorship. He's got to refocus and talk about the issues that matter and take the right position. I don't like hearing vaccine salesman Trump. I don't like hearing Trump talk about, you know, low unemployment and
thank you
moving that, you know, embassy to Israel. Right. It's so he can be a real leader. He can recreate the 2016 moment and make a real comeback, in my opinion. But
I've got about 30 seconds left. I mean, do you think that his most the biggest downfall, the biggest mistake, I guess Bannon called it the original sin of the presidency, the people around him? I mean, to me, that's the most glaring mistake he could make. I mean, even his family, Kushner. I mean, these people, they would prefer much to go back to a pre-Trump political era, in my opinion. Is that the way that you see it?
Without a doubt, 100%, absolutely. That was the original sin. It was the staffing, the personnel, and he let all the GOP in. You know, you knew I was a snake before you let me in. That was the story of the administration. So if we get another opportunity, we need the right people in office, because otherwise
it's going to repeat the past. If he decides not to do this, who would you pick?
Who would I pick? I think John McEntee was exceptional in the last year. He was put in charge of personnel in the White House. He made a huge difference. I would put Darren Beatty in there. I would.
No. I mean, if Trump decides not to run, if he says, screw it, who would you say to run for president?
Tucker Carlson. I would say Tucker Carlson.
There you go. But he's got to get some balls, though. He's got to have you on the program. I heard that he was scared to do that.
Or say my name. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Nick Fuentes, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Digital World Acquisition, DWAC, all kinds of things going around about that stock, futures, shorting, hedge funds, all kinds of different controversy. And of course, Carlos Cortez is with us right now. He's our in-house financial expert and an independent fiduciary at Cortez Wealth Management. So what is the high? What is the low? What's the goods on this stuff?
Controversy. There's no controversy, Stu. It's Wall Street. It's always perfect. Remember? So everything is fine and dandy, except for when there's Trump relations with a company. Let's have a hedge fund that's going to dump it and screw the conservative movement over. Wall Street wants Trump. And it made it very clear that the volume, the massive volume that's going into this, halted the stock multiple times. Even after it got unhalted, there's so many people trying to buy it because they want Trump. They want perfect capitalism. They want the American spirit, and they see that in this particular stock. And guess what Wall Street does? They slam it, they sell it, they abuse it, and they dump it. People lost 50, 60, 80% today, and while others made hundreds percent. And so you see the typical manipulation of this market, and we just got to be very, very careful. And so I love it because our conservative and the real patriots are showing their face. They're showing their true colors on what the market really, really wants. And there's no way in hell that he lost this election.
We have to be very careful in so many ways. You have to be careful about screaming at DeSantis gatherings. I mean, listen to you, you've lost your voice now. We also have to look into what's really going on with that deal because, you know, there's some stuff about a holdings company and a hedge fund and somebody operating it and this guy being from Wuhan, China, along with this Trump social media thing. I don't know. A lot of questions out there. Carlos Cortez, visit him online at AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. I hope you have a great weekend. Until Monday, at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that sees to it. I'll be praying for you. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!